And statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
It ain't the destination. No, it's about the journey. It ain't where you're headed, but it's how you grow. It ain't about the trophies, but getting back on your feet, walking in your glory. So come on, let's go. It's time for Michelle Speaks.
Good afternoon, 860 AM listeners. It is your host, Michelle Lawrence, for the Michelle Speaks Show, and I am so ecstatic to be back with you this week to discuss one of the four W's: worth, wealth, wellness, and wisdom. But we're going to get the show started the way we always do, and that is acknowledging the one who made it all possible through the reading of scripture. And this week's scripture is a familiar passage. I'll be reading both the KJV and the NIV of 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, the 17th through the 18th verse. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. The NIV says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. I've just read for you the 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, the 17th through the 18th verse. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his mighty word. If any man or woman be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away, and behold, all things are new. We're going to spend just a few seconds on this particular passage because most folks want to keep us in an old jar, in an old box, in our old ways, so that we can have old friends doing old things. Anytime you step out to do something new, there is a shedding that has to happen. And that's going to cause some discomfort. It's going to cause some to reevaluate. It's going to cause some to remind you of where you were. And what God is saying is, in me, there is newness. You can't have the old and the new in the same jar, in the same box, occupying the same space. That's like fear and faith not being able to exist in the same place. So if you are actually going to become something new, then you have to do something new. You have to be someone new. It doesn't mean you don't learn from your past. It just means you can't dwell and stay there. So there is a new thing he is doing in you that he is asking you to embrace. And in that new thing, it is not about those that are around you. It's about him working in you and through you. When we remember we are not our own and that we are actually here on assignment, then it's easier to embrace the new thing. Because there's this place of comfort that also allows us to fall back into complacency that leads to mediocrity, by the way. And all of those things fall in line. In newness means there's a new level of faith, there's a new level of test, there's a new level of temptation, but there's also this new level of prosperity, there's this new level of promise. All those things exist. But you have to be willing to become new. Because it's his promise that when you become new in him, that he has an abundance of peace, of joy. All of that is in him. And no one can take away what he has done in you or what he's going to do through you. Once we've been reconciled and you accept him and he is already waiting on us and waiting on you, then the newness can begin. So make up your mind today. Just look in the mirror and say, brand new. I'm brand new. Old things have passed away. And behold, I'm brand new. This week's song is a throwback. It reminds me of when I was young and singing in the choir, and it's called Behold. Behold by Paradise. Now that probably takes a few of you back, but it's also in alignment with the scripture that we just read. Behold, all things become new. I am excited to get today's show started. It is Worth Wednesday, and today what we're going to talk about is beauty from my scars. And the reason we're having this conversation around worth is because my scars are from my past and serve as a reminder of what I've been through. But the beauty that manifested comes from knowing that the scars were necessary in order for me to get to a place where there was beauty, and my experiences were necessary. That is what we're going to talk about today. Beauty from my scars. And in the studio, who we have today is none other than Obiama Martin. She is a CEO in her own right of a number of different companies. But I'm so excited to have this sister back with me in the studio today because she is doing a mighty work, with women and for women, and also with men. So let me not put that out there. But the last time she was here, she talked about her experiences, and from her experiences, there are a number of things that are blossoming, and one of those things is the transition home that she talked about. And so we're going to have some great dialogue around that with Obiama Martin. We also have this inspirational young woman who talks like she's been here before. I swear she, you know, they say she's in her 20s, but my goodness, her wisdom and her platform is one that would have you believe and think that she is so much older. Welcome back with me is Miss Summer Jordan, who was also Miss Black Pennsylvania. Let us not forget that. So she is beautiful on the inside and out, and I'm so glad to have her back because she too is doing a marvelous work. Her scars are also serving as a platform by which she is building a transition home or a safety home. And this is why we're back today. Shelter from the storm. These women are providing shelter for those who are experiencing similar experiences that they've had. They are providing a platform to transition for their new, for the new transformation. Whatever God is doing in the lives of those who are going through that scarring time, that battlefield, there is a haven that is being created for you if you're ready. If you're ready for transition and transformation into something new. So please welcome with me Obiama Martin.
Hey.
And Miss Summer Jordan.
Hello.
And I'll tell you, it was already heated in this studio before we could even go Facebook Live. And so there are a few things that already got us stirred up in understanding that scars are just a reminder of what not to do, but it is also a reminder of what he brought us through and how we are in a position that we are today. There's a quote from Maya Angelou that says, "The ache for home lives in all of us. The safe place where we can go as we are and not be questioned." Ladies, that's what you're doing. When you were last on, Obiama, you talked about this experience that you were going through and not having quite the place to go to because you had families. And here you are now, because I've been in this house. Okay. This is not a I want to do. This is not a I might do. This is an actual home that I sat in and had Bible study in. That's a way to start this, right? Talk about this transitional home and why it's so near and dear to your heart.
So, number one, it's vital that we have a safe haven, you know, as women, that we have a safe haven. And I'm sure that, I know that men need a safe haven as well. But because we are the caregivers, mm-hmm. right, because of the nature of who we are and what we do, it is vital that we have a place that we can retreat to mm-hmm. and kind of, you know, breathe and woosah and have that space where you can connect with God along with some other resources so that you can kind of figure out what your next steps are. And so this is near and dear to me because when I was going through, mm-hmm. when I was in that place of darkness and pain, I remember specifically there was a house, it still exists, and my very dear friend is in Southwest. She, on the outside of it, it's titled The Temple. And so while I could not physically stay the night there with my children, that became a place of retreat. And it was such a place that not only was it welcoming, but I knew that the Holy Spirit was there because all she did was pray. And it was a place that I was able to go to and just be still. I didn't have to worry about nobody asking me any questions, nobody, you know, just it was a place where I could just be still and get before God and say, help, without having to give you my social security number.
Right.
And my date of birth and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so that's why this is near and dear to me. And this is why, you know, I'm creating this transitional home, because when you are in that place of transition, you really need a place where you can go and hide, where nobody has to report your whereabouts. Mm-hmm. And so that's really important to me, the security of it, the place where women can go with their children because they've been abused mm-hmm. and they need a place where their abuser can't find them. And I don't have to then report to any government agency who's in the house. Right. And so that's another reason why many of people have said, you know, apply for this, apply for that. I don't want to apply for anything. I'm really going to trust God to continue to provide me with the resources to be a blessing, because when you are in that place, and it's not about being financially without resources, right? Because mm-hmm. I had resources, but I was married, so they was connected,
right,
to the marriage. And so for me, it's important that they're able to be at a place where they can hide and rest and not have to worry about the financial expense of being there.
Yeah, yeah.
They're going to eat. Their children are going to eat. Their spiritual needs are going to get met. Their physical needs are going to get met. You know, whatever that is, just enough so that they can connect to the resources, whatever that is, to get them to their next.
You mentioned a couple of things in that it's a place to hide It's a place of safety. And I'm going to add, it's a place where I don't have to keep repeating my story over and over and over again. It's almost like I got to keep pulling the scab off of the wound.
Yes.
Every time I tell it, you know, I'm getting so close to healing, the scab comes on. But here you come, and I've got to tear it off again
begin
talking about it. So this place offers the healing process, but a holistic approach is what I'm hearing.
A holistic approach. And so I'm really excited about it. I'm moving in phases so that I don't go broke in the process.
No, that's right.
But, you know, as I begin to design this place, and I've been thinking about it for years, you know, just kind of my prayer has been, you know, God, when you get me out, when you get me out, I promise you I'm going to go back and create this, that which I didn't have for other women. And so it's so, so important to me. And again, to your point, not having to relive, because a lot of times when you are connecting to resources and services, you know, people are constantly having that whole intake process.
Yes.
That intake process don't allow you to heal. It really don't, because you have to literally, and tell me again, and it's like, can't you just get it from the person you just told it to? Why I gotta relive this all over again? Can't you see I can barely
hold it together.
Hold it together.
And you want me.
And you want me. And so I don't want the women to have to do that. I want them to be able to just be for the 3 months. They have up to 3 months to be there rent free. I want them to just be able to be and to get whatever it is they need to get. So then when they move out, they don't have to return to that old place.
Because
God is going to do a new thing in that new place, that place of refuge, that hiding place, that safe place, that temple.
Yeah. And there's something about being able to go someplace and hide. Because it's what you become in the darkness that allows you that when you finally come out to the light, it is something totally different.
Yes.
So the cocoon is necessary.
It's necessary.
Look, we were made in darkness, right?
That's right.
When he knitted us together in the womb, there wasn't a whole lot of light, not a whole lot of folks standing around looking, but he was doing a new
thing. He was doing a new thing, right?
Oh. All right.
That's right.
3 months is three what months. You get.
Three months. And so again, right? 3 months, 90 days. So that's really all you need to get connected to the things that you need to get connected to. So whether that's resources or whatever, but 3 months is important, because when you go to move out into a new place, whether that's an apartment or a rental situation, they're going to ask you for 3 months, right? They're going to ask you for first month, last month, and security.
Yes.
Right? So that's why 3 months is important, because I want them to be able to save so that in 3 months they're moving out. They have a deposit. They have their security. And also they can get their resources, their clothes, their whatever together. And so sometimes when you're like, I just got to get out, you don't have 3 months.
Right.
You don't have 3 months. And so it's important to me, because this is my journey. Like, this is so much my journey. And so it took me, you know, when I finally made the decision, I had to get my credit right. I had to like strategically start doing stuff, but I had to do it where I was. I couldn't go anywhere. And so because things didn't add up the way that I intended, I needed to make sure I could save the 3 months.
Yes.
So that I can make my move.
Ugh.
So that's why that 3 months is necessary.
So there is a process around women understanding and identifying worth in that 3 months and recognizing it is work.
It's work. Right. So you hiding, but you working. Yeah. And so when the word says be still, that's not a be still, be lazy.
That's a be still, be lazy.
Right. That's a be still.
Yeah.
Know that I am God. Listen and work.
Yeah.
Not be busy or lazy, but be intentional about your next steps.
Ooh. I need y'all to hear that.
Be intentional about your next steps.
Be still does not mean be lazy or be busy, but be intentional.
Be intentional.
And to listen.
Yeah.
And to work.
And to work. right? And right, to even add to that, right, because iron sharpens iron, and so there is safety in a multitude of counselors. And so while you're in that 3-month incubator, right, there's going to be opportunities for you to get connected to a village, to a community, not just social service resources, but women that's going to keep you and cover you in prayer.
Mm.
Right, because Bible study is going to be happening in the living room.
Yes.
So
there's counseling.
Yeah.
There's the cultivating of your spiritual growth. There is the promoting of getting you prepared personally so that when you exit, you can also have a platform for professional opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. And so let's get Summer in here because she struck the audience and me. I mean, her interview probably was the only interview where I actually had to write and get my words together because every time she began speaking, I was so impacted to say, are you really, how old are you again? And it's not caught up in her age. Do not misunderstand me. It's the wisdom and the decision making at such a young age. And as Obiama alluded to, she was working even in dark places, just moving. And so Summer Jordan talked and said, everything I build in these homes will be as an altar unto the Lord. And so we are back to talk about this altar and the process. And so update us, Summer, on how things are going and what you're doing.
So my dream is to convert my home into a shelter for homeless youth, preferably girls, but I eventually want to branch out into reaching the youth boys. But my vision for that was to mentor them through faith, art, and entrepreneurship, because those are three things that helped me in my low place, that helped me when I was going through my mm-hmm. homeless situation. And like she said, like when you're working and you're also in those dark places, I was in high school at the time, and I was street performing. So I took my violin out and I was using that money. And I remember coming in and giving my social workers the money that I had made street performing. And I would have them not only count it, but hide it in the house. Because like when you're living with a bunch of, you know, young ladies, you don't want that type of thing laying around.
Mm-hmm.
So just to like kind of keep it in a bank without going to a bank, I gave it to them. And she noticed that I was like bringing a little bit extra than people that had part times. And she was like, I think you would do really well on your own. And so that began to give me the inside information that I mm-hmm. needed, the inside scoop, to be able to not imitate what I saw,
mm-hmm.
but use that as a blueprint for what I would like to do myself,
right,
as well as see the, how do you say, the differentiation. Like there were different niche markets, I should say, ways to reach them that were unconventional. Such as utilizing their gifts, because that's one thing, like people push for them to get, you know, a typical 9-to-5, but there are ideas, multi-million dollar ideas that God puts on the inside of people.
Mm.
And an example of somebody who was like that is Tyler Perry.
Yeah.
He was homeless at one point,
mm-hmm.
and now he's a multi-million dollar movie maker. He has different series on OWN, and, you know, Oprah took him on, and he's able to employ, you mm-hmm. know, people that are also going through different situations. So that's one thing that inspires me to do this home. Also, the work finds me.
Mm.
There are times when I'm just walking around, or I'll be working somewhere. I remember I used to work at the Boys and Girls Club, and I ended up mentoring about 17 girls, and they all were foster kids.
Wow.
And then, you know, just walking on the street, having different conversations with people, they come out about their situations and they come out about where they are. And then I'm just able to be a connector. I'm able to be a resource mm-hmm. without having the project completely finished. And even in that, because like people catch on to it being God inspired, I've already had people like what Obiama was talking about not really applying for things, but allowing God to bring the resources. He really does do that, because I remember there was a young lady who I spoke with, and her name was Miss Angel, ironically enough. And
wow.
She told me, she's like, hey, I like your project. I like what you're doing. I have a plot of land down south. I would love for you to, you know, bring your program down here if you're interested. And it's not even a complete work yet. So people are, like, catching on to the vision before it's even, you know, in the beginning stages.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what's inspiring me to keep going, like, that people get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so what will the experience be for these teenage women or teenage girls in the home that you are putting together?
So I would like for them to come. I would like for them to stay. I wanted to kind of run like dorm life because I'm a year out of college. So I kind of wanted, like, I have roommates now, so I kind of wanted to feel like, you know, the college dorm. Like, I'm like the RA of the house. I mm-hmm. come in, I check on them, I, you know, find out what their process is, find out what I can help them with, how I can help them with it.
Mm-hmm.
I would like for the girls that come into my program to leave with either a business plan rough draft or either a completed business plan with a license to vend and, you know, host different events, because that's something that got me out of my situation. So that's something that I really want to push for them. Like, when I lived with some girls in my former group homes and shelters, some girls were gifted in doing hair. There was one young lady who liked writing comic novels. There was another lady who could cook. So, like, just different things like that. I feel like people should use that instead of forcing them to do something that they're, you know, just going to not really put much into. It's just about getting a check. Like, I feel like you should have a passion behind what you're doing, because time, like, people say time is money, but it's not, because you can't buy time back.
Right.
So I feel like that's what I really want to focus on for them.
So it's the development and enhancement of their talent.
Their talents,
and
yes.
Their gift.
And the spiritual walk, what Obiama said about the Bible study and things like that going on. My goal is to put a chapel in my house. To have a place where they can come and they can just talk to God, they can worship God, they can just have that moment to just have with God. Because in my times in being homeless, I didn't have a chapel in my apartment. Eventually, when I got my own place, but I remember still waking up,
mm-hmm.
getting up one of my roommates at like 6:30, 6:40 in the morning to go to Enon service.
Mm.
So I was still going to church in my transitional period because I still needed that break, because there was a lot going on at home. Like I said, I experienced abuse in multiple forms. So the only time I got a break, I was the only one in my household going to church. So the only time I got a break was when I went to church. It was when I, you know, had time away to work on my music. So my faith and my art are literally the two things that were my coping mechanisms in those dark places when God was revealing to me little by little. But I still was in a process where I felt like I was losing my mind. Like, it's like my sanity was like, you're kind of like in between, like, does God love me or mm-hmm. am I his enemy? Like, mm-hmm. what's going on? Mm-hmm. Like, why am I in this situation? But, you know, the scripture that says, come ye from among them and be ye separate. Like, it's not always because you're a bad person or because you did anything. Like, we tend to, like, be very critical of ourselves, and you have to be more gentle about where you are in your situation. But sometimes you come amongst them to be cleansed, to be revealed to get the revelation of God, and then you can come back into your environment that he raised you up mm-hmm. out of and be a light to them.
Yes.
To come out. So and I know we're talking about scars. One of my favorite speakers, local speakers, his name is Bishop Christian Winters, and one of the sermons that he preached that sticks with me is nobody wants to follow an unscarred general.
Ooh.
If you don't have a scar and you try to take me to a battle that you've never been to, you might flee when you see darts and
right.
bullets and stuff flying. If you've never been out there, how can you lead me effectively?
That's right. That's right. How can
nobody
you teach me
wants to follow. See, this is what I was talking about, right? This is what I mean by gems. No one wants to follow an unscarred general.
Yes.
Ooh, you can't be
That's
a pretty
true.
Boy.
That's true.
And lead me,
yep.
because there's no evidence that you know how to come through.
Mm-hmm. There's no evidence you know how to fight.
Mm-hmm.
How about that? I don't know that you know how to fight or pray.
Yep.
So the battle wounds are evidence mm-hmm. that you have had some knee time, which mm-hmm. means you've been in prayer, that you have had people do some things to you,
mm-hmm.
and you've survived.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And the suffering is important, too, because we try to skip that part.
Oh.
I know I've gone through that many a times, but the suffering is important. I was talking to my friend about this yesterday, and I was saying, you know, there's some religions that don't believe in suffering for somebody who ascribes to being a Christian or somebody who ascribes to Jesus. And I'm just like, that, like, to me, I needed to suffer because it, like David said, it was good that I was afflicted because the suffering made me sensitive to the needs of the people that I was called to.
Mm.
Because if I didn't suffer in that way, I would have overlooked the people who I'm supposed to reach.
Absolutely.
Because I have no history with that storm.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
So that's also another part of the scars is embracing the suffering, because like not only are you suffering for suffering for righteousness' sake, you know, but just embracing that suffering, because like I know it's cliche, but you really do go through things for other people. It's not just for yourself; it's for other people.
I need y'all to put a pin in that, because far too often, folks will talk about suffering as if it's a curse, and it's not. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how you even begin to read the story of Jesus and not associate suffering with being a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't get that. Now, I will own that that is a part of the journey where I'm like, can we make it quick, Jesus? Mm-hmm. Can, you know, I want to, I'm like, can we get to it? And I'm with the cup. So let me see if I understand. I have to go through this, but then, and you know, my answer has to be yes, because all I can imagine and think of is suppose he said no.
Right. Mm-hmm.
If he had said no,
mm-hmm.
there would be none of this.
That's right.
There would be no dialogue. There would be no reason for us to have a conversation, because mm-hmm. there would be no salvation. And so that suffering is necessary. There is a song that played while I was going through something, and it's called Joy. But the first words are, there's beauty in my brokenness. Mm-hmm. I thought I would just slam on my brakes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, who sings that? You know, who talks
about somebody that's been broken?
Mm-hmm. And so I was so wrestling with God at that time. Mm-hmm. I'm like, beauty in my brokenness. No, I'm just broke.
Right.
What else do you want to do with me? And he, you know, that breaking,
mm-hmm.
you know, he's like, well, I know that you don't like this and you feel disjointed, but you know, when they were breaking Christ
mm-hmm.
physically,
mm-hmm.
I wasn't being broken physically, mm-hmm. but there were habits that had to be broken, so that I could really understand worth.
Mm-hmm.
See, I thought I understood my worth, but I tied it to so many other things.
Things, people.
People.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he's just
yes.
like, your worth is not associated mm-hmm. with them, this,
right.
or that.
Right. My blood.
Yeah.
It's my blood.
I thought you were worth it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought it. And so as I'm listening to you ladies talk about, you know, scars and beauty from your scars, what would you say to our listeners in terms of the most beautiful thing that came from your scars?
Well, so for me, my children, number one, my beautiful, beautiful children, that's first and foremost. But the other thing, or maybe it's in reverse. So two for me, right? So it's my children, but it's my relationship with my Heavenly Father. Because if I had not, to your point, right, if I had not gone through what I went through, I wouldn't know him the way that I do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, because I was in situations oftentimes where not only was I broken, not only was I broken, but I was emotionally bankrupt.
Mm.
I was financially bankrupt, right? I was spiritually bankrupt. And I had no choice but to go to him, because there was nobody else to feed me, to give me money, to clothe me, that, right? I had to. And so it forced me to get to know him.
Mm-hmm.
It forced me to have a relationship with him. It forced me to cry out, Abba, Father. It forced me to say, I keep reading this same passage and I don't understand none of it. Can you please help me to understand how this is supposed to help me in this situation? Because right now it's gibberish.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. It forced me to be like, I'm turning everything off. because I need a word. Because this right here is some foolishness. And everybody around me is drinking some stupid juice.
Right, right. And I'm trying not to partake.
I don't want that punch. I don't want that punch. I need the Holy Spirit. I need that water that's going to quench my thirst. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So for me, those are the two things, my children and my relationship. And so I take it not for granted, and just coming out of it, just understanding the more that he's called me to go back, mm-hmm. right, and to be the example. But even at this place, right, you still have to be chasing after him. Mm-hmm. So once you get here, you can't just be like, oh,
I've arrived.
I'm chilling. No, what you did, it goes to another level to stay here.
Yes. Yes. Yes, indeed. So, and to prepare
you
for your elevation.
Summer. Go all the way. Go ahead.
No, like just as you're talking, like I'm literally seeing the story of when Moses was leading the people out of Egypt. Because I've heard that story preached, but one thing that stood out to me was like they had no choice but to go forward. They couldn't go left and they couldn't go right because there was water.
Mm-hmm.
And they couldn't go back because they were being pursued by their enemies, which gave them gifts as they were heading out. They had the parting gifts, which mm-hmm. sounds like your children.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
then in going that way, they had no other choice but to choose the way that God had prepared for them.
Come on, something.
So that's literally, as you're talking, that's literally all I see in my head is that part of scripture.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like that's.
But the desire to go back was there.
Right, right. Because they were like, wait,
wait, wait, wait, wait, wait, wait.
And you brought us
out here to die.
And listen, right? And so here's the beauty, though, right? Even though, right, that place mm-hmm. that God was trying to bring us out of was so toxic mm-hmm. because it was what we came accustomed to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. It was easy for us to want to look back, like, which is what keeps you in that broken, stuck place for such a long mm-hmm. time, because it's all that you know. And in your mind, it's a scary thing to go on the road less traveled.
Mm.
Go ahead.
So, Summer, what were some of the things that you count as beauty from your scars?
I really don't know. Like, I feel like I could ascribe it to, you know, all of the opportunities that I've had. Like, God is literally just making me a billboard. Like, not just in the spiritual sense, but literally, like, putting me at the front, because mm-hmm. I'm somebody that likes to be in the back. And the things that he's allowing me to go through now is like he's calling me to come out of hiding.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like I have to come out of those cave experiences.
Mm.
And it's not a comfortable process because of the favor on my life, people think that because of the blessings, it's smooth sailing, but it's not. I'm right. still going through as I'm being blessed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the scary part, because you don't look like what you're going through, which brings you one thing that God's been dealing with me about is vulnerability. So even in that, he calls you to another level of vulnerability, because then now you have to be willing to be transparent, ask for help, and like lean on the support systems that he brings along the way to help you, you know, rise and eat in essence. So it's still a process, but I could say, I guess it would be that whole Esther experience, like with the pageant, that really just did something to me as far as my perception of myself, my worth, my value, and just putting into perspective that everything that I've gone through is not going to be wasted. Because I feel like I don't want to suffer for it not to help somebody. I'd rather go through and then, okay, I'm going through and it's going to benefit. I'm going to see the dividends. I'm going to see the return on my kingdom investment. And, yeah, so that, I guess that would be the beauty for it. And then also seeing the impact that it's making in the people who I desire to reach.
Mm.
Because like I shared last time, there was a shelter that I lived at that I went back before God was done writing my story. And I was literally shut down. And it wasn't until I went back and righted some wrongs and did some reconciliation with somebody who was near and dear to me, but I was still like partially forgiving them. It was still like some animosity and some distance. But until I resolved that, then he let me go back and be effective. And I was more effective than I intended to be, meaning I intended to reach maybe 3 or 4 girls. I ended up reaching the director and her 2 daughters that were there because I didn't even know that they had a situation going on. And by the end of that, 80% of the room was saying what they would say to their parents. They were, you know, crying out physically and literally, like metaphorically crying out, like, God, like, you know. And I was telling them, like, it's a quote that says, sometimes you think you've been buried when you've been planted, like grow where you've been planted. So that's just in my growth process, embracing the growth.
Ladies, I'm going to give you a quote. I want you to give me your feedback or give your take on it. It says, home isn't where you're from. It's where you find light when all grows dark. And that's from Pierce Brown. I'll do it again. Home isn't where you're from. It's where you find light when all grows dark. What does that say to you, and how does it reflect the homes that you're building and opening?
So for me, home is where I feel safe.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know if I shared this last time when I was on. So why safety is so important to me, even though I never lived in a shelter summer, I lived with a whole lot of different people most of my childhood up until I was 16, right? And those places were not always safe places, right? And so for me, even in creating the Breathe House, safety is so important. And when I finally got enough courage to move out from my dark place and move to where I am now, I had no furniture because I didn't have the money, right? All I had was the 3 months I needed to move in, my first, my last, and my security, right?
Yeah.
And so I slept on an air mattress for a whole year, right? Because I was safe. I didn't have to hide my pocketbook anymore. I didn't have to hide my wallet anymore. I actually could get a whole night's rest and didn't have to be jumping and worrying about the door open or the car door. Like, I was safe. So for me, home is wherever I can feel safe. I can feel like nobody's going to violate me or take anything from me or touch me or say something that
What about you, Summer?
This is going to sound crazy, but I actually found safe when I was at the group homes and when I was at the shelter, because I no longer had to fight before I went to school. I no longer had to, I'd never played about school, so I always, like, was at school, but there would be days where I literally had gotten into a physical fight with my mom before school, and she would have to call the school to make sure I got there, because I would just run. And the first time I got a break, and even at church, that was another place where I felt I had a break. At the time that I was dealing with that, I was going to Enon Tabernacle Baptist Church. And in a church, I was going to the mega church, even though my family there out of the first original church in Own Culture. But I can remember just going there, and I felt such peace. That's the thing that really made me feel safe, is the peace of God. Even though I didn't understand what it was just something about being there that made it feel like I got a break from everything. Like I don't have to fight so much. I can just come here and feel embraced. And it's not that it was the people there. It was literally the presence of God that was keeping me in that space. And out of a room full of about 2,000 members, every time the pastor spoke, I remember this one night. This is the night I walked down to the altar to get, you know, to get help for getting baptized. It felt like everything he was saying, he was speaking directly to me. And I'm sitting in a balcony of thousands of people.
Oh, I get it.
And I'm like, does he know my life? Like, this is
he talking to me?
Yeah. So it's just like that, being in church and being in the group home in the shelter and having the support to have somebody believe you, even though you had people try to make you look bad on paper. I had people that believed me. I had people that got it. So that to me was a break. That to me was safe haven. That to me was refuge.
So home is a place of safety. It's a place of peace. It's a refuge. And what I gather is that it's also a place of love. Mm-hmm. And in the homes that you are both building and the homes you are both building will have all of these components, because you understand what it was like not to have those things. And so you're making sure that there is an atmosphere set that's conducive to me feeling safe, that I'll have peace, that I'll have an encounter with the Maker. As we wrap up the segment and we're talking about beauty from my scars, how does this now tie into your worth and how you feel about who you are today? How does your scars, you know, impact who you see yourself as today, and who you see yourself as in the future?
I'm gonna let you go.
Honestly, I'm getting there. Like. Because I'm in a place of crushing again, and it doesn't feel good, and it doesn't make me feel like, you know, the butterflies, the honeymoon, mm-hmm. you mm-hmm. know, sensation you get when you first, you know, get introduced to the Lord, and you just on cloud nine.
Right.
Like, it doesn't feel like that right. anymore. So now it's like I know God loves me, and even in those difficult places, you know, God is still speaking to me, like, you know, the I don't even know what to call it, but you know that he walks with me, talks to me,
yes.
tells me I'm his.
I'm his own.
I'm his own. Yes, mm-hmm. that it's like he still whispers mm-hmm. little things like that to kind of reassure me, so that my spirit is not all over the place. Ooh, so that my spirit is not all over the place. But it's like I still go through phases where I'm like, dang, like I feel real bad right now. Like, is it something I did? Because I'm real critical of myself. So a lot of times, and I'm analytical too. So when things like that are going on, it makes me gravitate more toward the negatives than the positives about myself. But an exercise that I really want to work on is writing out the list of things that I like about myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like we don't do that enough. I feel like we're in a society where it's like all critique and no validation. There's no affirmation, really. And I want to get to that because I feel like that would help me come out of that.
That's all right. I got the book just for you. Her name is Elaine Johnson.
Yes.
And she has a Plan, Pray, Slay the Day book.
Yes.
I got one with your name on it. So we're going to get you there around that daily affirmation. But what I also know, and I'm still learning about the God we serve is, you know, we go from infancy to toddler to teen to adult in our walk with him. Mm-hmm. And so he's no longer coddling and going, oh, yes. He's like, yep. you need to get your life right. And we don't have time. Come on, let's go. And, you know, folks are saying, well, how you must, like they told Job, why don't you just curse God and die? Because you must have done something to be going through all of this. And you don't realize that, no, that is the brokenness. That is the purging. That is the pruning. And in all of that wrestle, folks are going, huh? But I thought that you were upright. Why is this going on with you? And it's because he has greatness in store.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to come through it. Oh, thanks, Summer. Miss Obiama, worth. How?
So the more that I get closer in my relationship, the more I know that I don't know. And the more I have to lean in on what he promised, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, which is why, for those that follow me, my prayers are the way they are, you know, in the morning. And it's important to me to be open and transparent about where I am, because I know that I'm not alone.
Yeah.
Right. And I know that my struggle is not my own.
Hmm.
Right. And so, because I can be transparent, I can be like, yeah, this is where I am. I'm going to own that, and I'm not there. Like I'm not there. So I know that I'm worthy because of your blood, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there are situations, right, that remind me, or will trigger something Come that on. Will make me go back, and I have to lean back in and say, but God.
Yeah.
But God. So because of that, I don't have to settle.
Mm.
I don't have to settle. I don't have to appease. Mm. I don't have to manipulate. I don't have to play these games because your blood said that I'm worthy. Your blood said that I'm enough. Your blood said that nothing is missing and nothing is lacking, even when I feel like I'm not worth it.
And that's real talk, ladies. I know we have men listening, and so you are worth it, too. Do not misunderstand us, but we're touching the hearts and the minds of the women right now. Because for every scar that you have, for every sacrifice that you've had to make in his name, he knows all about it. And that is just a part of going from old to new. And in that journey, in that experience, it is uncomfortable. One of the questions that I have asked recently is the former First Lady Michelle Obama said that we still have scars from the shards. You know, so when you're breaking glass ceilings, you know, it doesn't mean that you're not in the midst of them falling down on you. But somebody had to stand there so that all of the others that came up after you did not have to experience all of those cuts and bruises. So for every scar that we have gotten over the years, recognize that I'm going to have to tell that story.
Mm-hmm.
And by, the scar isn't going to hurt the way it does today. It's not going to be as exposed as it is today. He's going to medicate it. He's going to treat it. And I'm going to come out on the other side and have a beautiful testimony about how he brought me through. My big mom would say how I got over, right? That was her thing when she would talk about that. Yeah. And so there is a how I made it over, a how I got through, that he lines us up. And when he does that, it's because he wants our worth connected directly to him. When it's connected to anything else that's temporal, that means when it fades, when it breaks, when it's no longer popular, we think the same thing of ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so that's the result of attaching ourselves to these people and things and hot items. Because when we do that, we're like, you know, I'm good if you're good.
Right.
Well, suppose you're not good.
That's right. Right.
That doesn't mean that I'm no longer
that's
good.
That's right.
Ladies, so let's do this. I've got you. You know, we think we get on here in 60 minutes is a whole lot of time, and we realize it really is not. So I'm going to start with you, Summer. Closing remarks on what do you want the listeners to hear about beauty from my scars?
Do you mind if I sing?
Oh, by all means.
Okay, so this is a song that God gave me this week that really speaks to, like, me having to trust him beyond what I can see.
Okay.
So, I give it all to you, God, trusting that you'll make something beautiful out of me. And I lean not on my own understanding, 'cause my life is in the hands of the maker of heaven. And I lean not on my own understanding, 'cause my life is in the hands of the maker of heaven. And that's the song. And literally, like, and that's the song. Like, and that literally, no, that song gave me so much peace.
Yes,
it gives me so much. No, I'm dead serious. Like,
and we're there. I'm just trying to get it together.
There are days where I am like, I'm in a month where this is a heavy month for me because not only like I'm pink, y'all see all this. This is for Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
Yes, I got that noted.
Yes, so I'm pink for that, but also just grieving because of me not being where I thought I should have been. That I was working towards. And me, literally, like yesterday, I posted that I was out, you know, in Center City and stuff like that, because I deal with depression and I deal with grief and I deal with things like that. And instead of me sitting in it, I have to physically get out and I have to move and I have to interact with people and I have to get fresh air, because I don't want to dwell on the things that I'm not pleased with in myself. But that doesn't mean God is still not pleased with me.
That's right.
It just means that I'm not pleased in the place that I'm at in the process.
Yeah, I'm glad I don't have to talk yet. Obihama.
That's why she went.
Little messed up right now, y'all. Because we were in here talking about leaning not to our own understanding. Because there's a thing that he is doing that we may not understand and cannot see. But that's where faith and trust and belief are critical to our walk and understanding our worth. Obihama, we got another minute, so your close out. Yeah. I know. Amen? Is that it? Okay.
Yeah. So, you know what? It's this walk, right? It's definitely not a sprint. It's not a sprint. So it is for us to absolutely breathe. Right. And I'm not saying that, you know, because of my book. I'm saying it literally. We have to pause and take a breath and really remember who is in control, who we are and whose we are, so that we're not going through this journey with the oxygen mask on, panting and having to be, you know, resuscitated every other day,
right?
Because we're allowing the things that life, you know, bring our way to overtake us and overwhelm us. And for that reason, we absolutely, and I learned, Summer, yesterday, that when you are depressed, you need to exercise, right? And so all of that, the exercising, the moving, the breathing, right? What I had to learn for me is that I had to sow, and I do sow what I need. So I needed to be my own rescue, right? Mm. And so while I was, and while I am still going through my healing, right, I have to constantly be at a place where I'm sowing and helping and feeding somebody else, because that takes... It takes what I'm going through off of me, and it refuses or doesn't allow me to focus or stay in or wallow in, right, my stuff. But I can be obedient to God, press and lean in, and really be a blessing to somebody else, because you reap what you sow. And so if I'm constantly sowing the fruit of the Spirit, or if I'm constantly sowing that what I have need of, it's going to come back, right, so that I'm not going to be empty.
Amen. We are at the close of this week's show, Worth Beauty from My Scars. Thank you, Obihama Martin and Summer Jordan, for joining us. And thank you for all of the listeners and for those on Facebook Live. We love you and we thank God for you. We look forward to having yet another opportunity to share one of the four W's with you on next week. Till then, be blessed.